right, welcome back. Welcome back to Green Box Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I will be your handler for this operation, and I am joined by my good friends, Brad, playing
Hello.
Hank, who I have a plethora of information that he is real, by my good friend, Dace, playing Busiak.
If I'm not real, then you're fucking crazy.
Right.
You got memories from way back.
Oh, yeah.
I feel pretty good about that.
And then I had to deal with the corroborating memories of other people as well. So that's just a whole other kettle of fish. And the one member of our team who, I'm going to be frank, we're a little thin on the ground on is he real, Jean, playing Benedict.
Yeah. I remember giving you your memories, Joe.
Oh, no.
Strip flip. How do you feel about that?
It feels bad.
What a twist!
It feels bad.
Jean, he's the architect in our Matrix universe.
Thank God.
I try.
Do you guys think that the grand story of the Matrix was well written or not? Like, do you think that, I know like there's some shit about the second and third movies and their quality, but do you think that the overall story is well done?
First one's a masterpiece.
Oh yeah.
Second one is entertaining. Third one is trash.
Yep.
Hot take. I kind of like the third one. I kind of like the bow it put on everything.
You would.
I would.
Sheesh.
Would. Yeah.
Sheesh.
Brad, didn't you have something that you said was really important and that you were worried that if we didn't talk about it live, that it would affect our trajectory?
Yeah, Matrix. There may be some security implications as well.
Yeah.
Yes. What I was going to say is this, well, we're just going to basically get into a recap of the last episode.
I'm worried.
Although I know it's not. Oh. It's nothing weird. But when you were describing the empty mall, I thought you were honing in on something that happened to us way back with.
Oh, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That did not happen to us. That happened to people we know.
Okay. Yeah.
And they described the story to us so well that it's almost as if you were there.
That we allegedly know, allegedly describe the story to.
To be clear, these are not the memories. I did not implant these memories. These are not, this is not mine.
Oh, yeah, are these genuine?
I don't know. I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay.
Well, for anyone listening that hasn't heard the story.
I'm a human.
Last episode, Hank opened up a building and it was like an abandoned, empty mall. And I just got flashbacks to a story we heard about three individuals.
Right.
And two of them, all three of them are going into this abandoned mall somewhere where they used to live. And we were walking, and basically two of them were like, it was an abandoned mall, and then there's a glass door. And two of them were like, should we open that? Should we try to get in there? Should we try to get in that shop? You know, it's going back and forth, and one of them was like, I'll do it, and walks up and pulls the door, and the whole alarm goes off for the entire mall. And then he looks behind to see his friends miles ahead of him running away.
Okay, so the way I heard the story was not that one friend boldly proclaimed that he was going to be the one to open it. I'm pretty sure the other two knew the alarm was going to go off, and had to convince
third friend to do it. No, I didn't have to convince him. He volunteered.
Guys, this is not going to hold up in court. I know there's like he's and them.
But yes, it was
the way I heard the story.
It was a setup. They knew the alarm was going to go off.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. No, I was not specific. Well, but the thing is like I did have that particularly in my mind because obviously I remember what it was like to have a mall in your hometown, like when it was open, you know, it's like, or when it was closed, allegedly, you know, because they're creepy places, but it's like, it was like everything built in the 90s was kind of dark and dingy, including the mall.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like what, right? Like, it wasn't built in the 90s. I guess it was
a lot of
80s.
Burgundy. I remember.
Yeah.
Something interesting that stood out to me last session was how, I don't know if this is a choice you made or if it's in the module, but they were really doubling down on nostalgia. Like, yeah, and the emptiness of it. Have you guys seen that meme that's like, if you were to go back, there would be nobody there, and that it's a bunch of like images of abandoned old liminal spaces with creepy music playing behind it?
Probably. No.
That's you should stop watching that stuff before you sleep at night.
When you sleep, I'm watching it right now.
Dace just like clicks back rooms, just watches slideshows.
Yeah, it's very back rooms esque.
I just imagine you have like a TV like somehow mounted like on a reticulating arm that you just bring in front of your face while you like while go to sleeping. Sleep.
Like a dentist.
But it made me wonder why. Was it just like a flavor thing, or is there like, is it related to something narratively?
I think it's something to do the further you get away from the city now, the more it's like parts of other places. And in the Silent City, it's all like show, you know, it's all set.
But now we're prompted to follow this red-robed character into the mall, which could potentially bring us closer to the palace because nothing makes any sense.
No, it's a trap.
It's obviously a trap.
You think it's a trap? Well, I mean, I thought it was 100% a trap, but we wound up getting an invitation.
Yeah.
Which I think John predicted.
Joe's just trying to lure us closer to die. He had to give us something. He had to give us a carrot.
Well, he gave us that subtle handler nudge, because we were gonna miss it completely, and then he's like, I forget what exactly he said.
The music
causes to completely do a U-turn or do a 180 and like investigate it rather than miss it.
Well, you know, this is something we can talk about in the sanity check. It's like in more detail, but you know, there are instances where I want you guys to like, there is a story. The story does exist. The story does have certain set pieces that are kind of central to it. And I don't want you guys to miss it. Because if you do, it's like, then I have to make up an entire, like, how do you connect to the next thing?
It came from a place of laziness.
of abject, just, whatever, you know. But I think that there really is an element of... One of the things that's like, and I don't know if how you guys feel about this kind of thing, or like, you know, Jean and Brad having both run published operations. Like, I like the operation. I like the book. The intense amount of work that goes into this that went into this fucking thing is evident. Mm-hmm. Like, and I want to respect it in that way. Like, I don't want to, like, there are obviously things that I've made up that are completely unique to our game that no one else is going to have, unless, you know, unless they decide to. But yeah, I think it's really important to kind of respect the overall narrative and some of the big set pieces. And yes, it does make me lazy, and I'm okay with it.
This is all a big lead up to like,
you
yes,
don't do, I've got you don't know lazy. What I do. All right. Well, speaking of awesome segues. Let's segue.
There you go. Speaking of lazy,
talk about being lazy.
I think that's an all-timer. Right there.
10 out of 10 for that one.
Right. Last time, guys. Last time, after making it through the war zone, after entering the Silent City, a city that seems to have had a better time, or is insulated from the war zone in a way. You guys are moving ever closer to the palace. You began to move through the city streets, seeing people and crossing the distance and hearing the sounds of doors locking as you draw near. You're obviously not terribly welcome, though no one's coming after you. You guys came again to the shores of a lake, this time with the water vastly receded and, you know, the detritus of God knows what sticking out of the sand. And you see this boardwalk off in the far distance, and you kind of talk about, you know, should we go? It's obviously a trap, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, you know, and you just end up deciding to go there, and you investigate this carnival. Or not this, what is it, a carnival or is it a fair? What's the term for that, for this little park? Doesn't matter. You guys you guys investigate it, kind of look around, and there's just this sense of out of placeness and that kind of... I love that you use the word nostalgia, Dace. Like that, like a sense of nostalgia, but not like a fun sense of nostalgia, like a sense of nostalgia that belongs to someone else, but that's like on you as you guys explore this area. And what a great time to get a fumble, man. What an awesome fumble opportunity, you know. And again, I ask myself, did the players, were my players doing the meta thing by not staying and encountering my horde of zombie mannequins? You know, and I expect better of you guys next time. Next time, I expect you to stand there and take the horde of zombie mannequins.
Okay.
Do you feel like introducing three new characters into the late stage campaign? Because we can do that. I can count as characters for days.
We will call you a bluff.
Yeah, well, that's the situation where you start bringing in, you know, what would it be like? Eank Hellas?
Yeah.
And Benedict Barthington?
Yeah.
You know, that's where you start bringing those in. But you guys had seen this this red robe figure, a figure you've seen before. You know, enter the mall. You guys go in, and you see another figure you've seen before, a figure that specifically Benedict has seen previously. This mechanical clockwork girl, this clockwork child, that dispensed unto you an invitation. But as you guys pointed out, it's not your invitation. It's someone else's invitation. The invitation of someone named De Craig? Is it Ian De Craig? Is that right?
Yeah.
Ian Frederick. Yeah.
So, yes. So, you guys are now kind of standing here, and there's still the kind of grinding sound of the, you know, of the carousel playing Whatever Happened to Abby. You know, and maybe it's becoming distant, you know, you're listening, you're hearing it through some walls, but you guys have entered into the mall. The clockwork child has gone skipping away, you know, like deeper into the mall. So I guess now my question to you guys, as you're standing here, you have your fresh, what'd you call it? Invitation here in your hand. And what would you like to do?
You mentioned toasters.
Where are you going with this?
Yes.
I'm just confirming that the DM mentioned a pile of toasters. Am I correct?
Okay. What Jean is referring to...
Are you going to Fallout style disassemble them for their screws so you can craft?
It's only the right thing to do.
If we get on some Wonder Glue, that shit's worth more than gold.
Wonder Glue. That's right.
If only.
Oh, God. So you guys are... Yeah, so like as you guys entered in, so let's paint the image here. You know, again, it's like this big mall. Maybe not quite like a modern day... or like a 90s mall, like probably a little older than that. Obvious shop fronts, big open interior area, completely dark, except for every now and then you see that there are candles. And it seems like farther in down this kind of path, there are more candles. You and the clockwork child was carrying a candle as well. But stacked up on all sides with like this kind of path cut through it, are different piles, but they're not, it's not just trash. It's not just garbage. It appears to be sorted into different bizarre stacks. Like, I think the examples I gave is there's a huge pile of toasters off to one side. There's a big pile of like what looks like copper, like all sorts of things made of copper. Like, there's like teapots and there's copper piping, and it kind of flows into this big pile of cogs, of all different cogs, you know, and the copper cogs are kind of in the middle, you know, between them, you know, like where they kind of Venn diagram over each other. And it's like this, and there's like, you know, there's a bit, it's like, is that a pile of propellers? You know, it's like both boat and airplane propellers, you know, a big pile of them. You know, this one appears to be steak knives. Just this mountain of steak knives. That kind of thing. All different kinds of stuff. Are there any
pens or pencils?
Why don't we roll a dice? Why don't we let the dice decide?
So, to be clear, I'm not actually trolling you. I do want to go and go to the toasters in a little bit.
No, John, you don't. Serious. You don't want to make Toaster
Let
Adventure.
Let me play the game. I want to make Toaster Adventure 2.0.
I think this is important, Joe.
It doesn't make it any better, John, that you genuinely want to go towards the toasters.
I have a reason for going to the toaster pile.
It doesn't make it any more interesting or better.
But I, like, really want to. But I really want it. It's like that. Okay. That one sketch. I really want it.
I think you should leave.
Oh, God.
I really want this to happen.
I think you should leave.
Okay, all right. So this is Benedict, and he turns to Hank, Busiak, I'm not going insane, but we need to bring a gift. We've got an invitation. We need a gift. We need a gift to bring to the king, and I think a toaster is an appropriate gift.
Sure. Why
like,
the fuck
like
not?
Like a housewarming gift.
Like a housewarming. To the new king, your new toaster.
I thought you would have gone for the steak knives.
And I'm going to find the most majestic toaster in that pile. Oh, so close. I got a 65 over 63 for that toaster.
You find a toaster, but you think it's actually for hot dog buns, and you're not sure how useful that's going to be.
This will do.
Yeah, it seems to be made specifically for hot dog buns.
I will give this to the king. It is a cultural exchange from our country to his.
Well,
assuming they have invented the hot dog bun, this could be very lucrative.
Well, assuming this could be a game changer. The hot dog.
If not,
you know, like you don't know
them.
If they eat hot dogs here.
We'll show them how a hot dog. I'm putting one toaster into my inventory, and you can't stop me, Joe.
You're right, hot John. Dog. I can't stop you.
You really can't. With all your power.
And, you know, Busiak, I feel like we need to write a letter.
Well, see, I was sort of thinking about if we could find a pen or a pencil, we could just cross out Ian's name and then write our names on the envelope.
Smart.
And then that'll hold up in court.
Wicked smart.
It's that meme of the guy like pointing to his temple with a smile.
But okay, what do we do?
The end of toaster.
Too many shenanigans.
Yay!
This cake is all frosting.
I have ways of taking back the power and my own agency in the story.
Overemphasize Benedict Hell. Necessary and important your contribution has been to this group. But there is a red There is a red hooded figure that could have been at the source of this.
Oh, he's mannequin. Is he still there?
He went around the corner.
You saw him heading further down.
Take the.
Oh,
so you guys want to
just catch up?
Follow the
figure.
Well,
I definitely don't want to go outside with the haunted. Merry-go-round.
The Caucasian Beyblade.
Yeah. Let it rip.
Let it rip.
All right,
let's pick up a candle and follow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a problem. And again, it's like, and actually, the further you go, the more dense the candles seem to be. And you get, you know, and... Again, you guys have all been inside this kind of, like, internal mall kind of thing. But the further on you get, it doesn't make a lot of sense in the traditional mall. Like, if, for instance, like, you get down and there's a fork. Like, you know, how often have you been to a mall that has a forking, you know, different, like, areas to go to? It's like, in one area, you know, in one side of the fork appears to be, like, piled up, and it's like, and you even see it's like, it looks like in one side of the room or one side of the fork is, you know, cars when they've been crushed into those cubes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. And it's like, It's like a huge pile of those. Oh, yes, thank you, Inwills. And also just a pile of forks at the fork, which gives you all a good chuckle for just a moment as you then say, no, we're going to go the other way. But like one side has candles, you know, the side that the roped figure had kind of gone down, and, you know, the one side doesn't. You know, and so you go down the, you know, the area with the candles. And again, there's getting more and more and more of them. What is it like? Like, what are you guys trying to do as you're going?
Hank is like, what's the definitely idea keeping his rifle to his shoulder and, you know, not only looking at the path ahead, but glancing into these shops to make sure there's no funny business.
Hmm.
I think Busiak's got his axe on his shoulder. Kind of just strolling nonchalantly, maybe humming a song, maybe humming "Doodle Let Me Go" from the Lighthouse.
Great.
Doodle let me go, doodle let me go.
What about Benedict? What's Benedict doing as he's kind of going down here?
Benedict's got a toaster cradled under his arm. By the way, this is very much in character for Benedict, so thank you very much. All the sass I'm getting from all three of you, fuck you very much.
Next he's going to ask, can he have a bond with the toaster?
Got him.
Oh, well played. That's scathing. He's got a toaster cradle in one
hand.
Oh
my god.
And he's got the
the
little
best roast of 2025 goes to
well done. He's got a candle on the other hand. And he's kind of he's got a little bit more pep in his step, like he's got a little bit of some kind of direction and some kind of a task that he's following, that he wants to give the king the toaster to welcome him.
Of course, because as you know, the last king cometh.
Yes.
So, you know, it would be rude
and
to show
the
up.
The last king toasteth. That's the byline.
God damn it.
Yeah, you could like show up and like a toast to the king.
Oh!
How about that, huh?
I will workshop it, Busiak. We will workshop it.
Oh, God. So, yeah. Hey, you continue down. And again, Hank, you are like, giving a glance every now and then, you know. And some of these shops, you know, have a feeling, you know, are loaded with things that are a little more recent. You know, things like maybe you see, like, a CD shop, like, racks of CDs. You know, in one of them. But then as you go through, maybe there's like one that's got on display, like those big old school refrigerators, like from the 50s. Mm-hmm. You know, like very, very Fallout kind of feel to them, you know, kind of thing. Like they're stores and items taken from different times. And maybe, you know, as you guys are kind of moving through, it's like, you know, you don't know if it's just because you're moving through this area and everything's so piled up every now and then, like, you know, there's like up towards some of these piles go all the way to the ceiling, which is like, you know, probably 15, 20 feet high. You know, maybe like there's like a shifting at the top of one of the piles and something like falls down the pile, you know, just a little bit. You know, and I imagine, you know, Hank like swings his weapon up real quick, you know, like at that, mm-hmm. you know, it's like you don't really seem to ever catch anything as you're moving through here.
Sean.
Oh, no. Oh, we lost Sean.
I'm back.
He's back. Okay. There he is. Sorry. Things got weird on the stream for a second.
Sorry.
But you're moving through and as you guys are going, and so it sounds like you guys are, you know, kind of taking your time. You get to an area where, you know, you see your first like big oil lamp that's been set up as opposed to a candle. And again, it's like it's getting to the point now where there are so many candles, it's actually getting warm in here. Like there's like so much open flame just like around you. But as you get into, you start to hear whirring and grinding, and
oh, no.
There's a bit where you start to where you see the first machine in one of these piles, and it, you know, the first machine might be just like I don't know, like, what is this thing, what is it doing? It's just a big jumble of gears and you know, crankshafts and stuff like that. But then there's more and more of them as you go, and then maybe you you turn one of these corners where there's like a fountain or something, like a mall type fountain, and you see that at the middle of it is a machine that seems to be combined like a mechanical arm and a hopper, and it seems to be shoveling hubcaps into some type of hopper that is grinding them up and depositing them on a huge pile. And the machine does not appear to be an intelligent, like a mannequin or anything. It appears to be very much like a machine. And this whir and grinding of industrial machine starts to get more and more as you're moving into further in with more and more light, all candle light or like gas lantern all around you. There comes a moment where you guys get to a place where you see that down the middle of this trail that's carved between these piles of equipment and stuff, there's been laid a long carpet, a long red carpet. And as you guys get there, you see down in the distance, you see an area extremely bright, extremely brightly lit, dense with candles. And you see this red-robed figure. You see him with a big box underneath his underneath their arm, with all sorts of mechanical bits like sticking out of it. And you see them very quickly turn and head off like between two of these big piles of stuff, and you hear the sound of a door opening and closing. And beyond it, he's like carrying like a box like full of like mechanical bits and pieces. But then you hear beyond it, you hear two things. One, the tinkling of music, like from a music box. But then also, you think you hear a low voice that is too far away, too low to quite make out. Someone speaking.
Do we think he's seen us? Is he...
No, he's definitely seen us. I don't know.
That's what it thinks.
Yes, I don't know.
There's some kind of... seems like there's some kind of meeting being held behind that door. At least two of them. Talking. What do you fellas think?
We don't have costumes. We were told that we need a costume and an invitation. And I brought a toaster. I don't know about you guys, but I have a toaster. I don't know if we're going to rock up to this thing without a costume. And if that's going to be okay. Or if the king will be mad.
I don't think the palace is behind that door.
You're getting ahead of... I know you're excited about the dance yet. And whatnot, but there's cultists. We got something right in front of us now, Benedict.
Okay.
So what are we thinking? Creepy music box or creepy meeting?
I thought they were coming from the same room.
They're coming from down this area where both the music and the voice is coming from where the candles are down at the end, not from the direction the robe went.
Oh, okay.
That makes that choice easy.
All right. Stealthy.
Wait, what's the choice? Where are we going?
To the creepy meeting.
Oh, good. Let's do that. Yes. Instead of follow the guy.
You got your toaster, so you're probably all right.
I'm probably fine. Right. You guys are fucked. You don't have a gift.
Well, they have like that table where you're supposed to put your gift, right?
I'm gonna...
Hank will be label it. Stealthy. Failure.
Not that stealthy. There's so much trash here, you know, it's like, and again, like there's stuff like, you know, kind of spilling into the path, and maybe as you're going, again, like one of these big piles, like as you're kind of growing nearer, you're kind of going down toward... where the voice is coming from, you know, like something like tumbles down, like maybe there is, I don't know, there's like a mountain of car batteries, right? And there's like, you know, you can see where the acid is like leaked out and like eaten into the floor and stuff like that. And as you get close, one of them seemingly coincidentally just like tumbles down, just like gung, you know, and like really kind of gives away any attempt to be stealthy.
Hank does a Homer Simpson don't.
Right. You hear the voice, you hear the music stops quite suddenly, and you hear
Well, who's there? Who's there? Come into the light.
Hank.
Busiak will step into the light.
And you, and as you're, he's like, did I leave something out? Did I give you everything you needed, Marbus? Oh!
Almost said Marbus.
Hello!
Oh, no.
Hello!
Have we seen this person before? Do we recognize him?
As you step into the light in this big, round area of, like, have you guys ever seen, like, sometimes, like, Catholic churches, like, they have, like, so many candles lit, you know, it's just, like, you know, it's just basically, like, one solid flame, right? Like, the candles around here are just, like, are dense like that, and they go up, you know, they're, like, mounted up vertically as well. And you see that in the middle. Go ahead.
Sir, that will not pass code.
Oh, he's a firefighter.
Triggers the firefighter.
Oh, you gotta stop this. You see,
shut it down.
You see a, you see that in the very middle of all of it, sitting at what looks to be a big wooden, like big heavy oak desk that's covered in machinery, in the middle of this kind of open area that, again, like all these hallways coming into this one area. You see a man. He's old. He has like a big, bushy white beard and kind of crazy wild like white hair kind of balding towards the front, and he has like a jeweler's loop like on his like over one eye, and he like, you know, brings his head up where he can look at you like over it, and then lifts it up over away from his eyes, and his hands are dirty and covered in, you know, a mixture of, you know, like dirt and grease, it looks like. And he's wearing an apron over his front, but over the top of all of that, he's wearing these silvery robes that the two of you who have been to the encounter group remember exactly. As being this very like this like polyester style, or even the robes that you saw on what was his name when you chased him in the night world. Lundeen, when Lundeen ran away from you.
Yeah. Does it look like he's making clockwork?
It does.
Okay.
It does.
You have picturing this guy as a John C. Reilly. You know what I'm talking about?
Why him?
I don't know. But he's like small and stocky, and he looks at you with a real kind of gentleness. You know, as Busiak steps out to the light, maybe first, he said, come in. And you see standing beside him is this clockwork child, and it's just standing there, arms down, kind of whirring, and part of its face is open. Mm-hmm. And he's like, one moment. You see him turn, and there's like some kind of sparks fly from a tool that he's using, and he closes the face back over the machinery underneath. He's like, there you go, all better, you know. And the machine kind of like jerks its head left and right, you know, and then kind of turns to face you, this flat child's face. He says, come in, my young friends.
Hank will...
Please, how can I help you?
Hank will not say anything, but he'll step forward. But he's definitely on guard, seeing as hell. He's almost died at the hand of these things.
That's fair.
Yeah. Just before Lucian goes, I think just like Benedict has got... He's what do you do to a toaster? He's holstered the toaster, and he's kind of getting two sticks of dynamite ready on either side in each pocket.
What do you do with a toaster? You make toast, John. You do not carry it around.
What do you do with a holster?
Back to Busiak.
Okay.
Before Joe punishes me for this.
No, John, where on your sheet does it say toaster holster? Where? Wait, do you have a toaster holster?
He just loops one of the cables in his belt, and he puts two dynamite sticks in the hot dog holsters for the toaster, ready to go.
Shh. shove it up your toaster holster.
All right. So yeah, you guys walk out into this area, you know, showing yourself.
He's like, oh, good. Oh, please come in. Sorry for the mess. It turns out I only have one old man voice. Sorry for the mess.
I recognized you.
Charlie, is that you?
Yes. Sorry for the mess. I need to... Oh, you know, like, he kind of opens drawers and starts, you know, he puts some things in.
Busiek, when you step into the light, you are still covered in mannequin bits, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Awkward.
He kind of double takes at you, Busiek.
I see you've run into some of my work.
He doesn't seem to be angry about it. He seems to kind of state it as a matter of fact.
Yeah, as I have indeed. What's your name, friend?
Ambrose,
you know, he kind of, you know, he undoes this dirty, like, workman's apron and pulls it off and, you know, and keeps the robe on. And he says, Ambrose,
I don't get many guests. Please come in. And he, like, there are some stools around. He pushed stuff up. Please come in. I don't have any refreshments.
Who is Ambrose?
So good to
again?
See people. I don't get a lot, like I said, don't get a lot of visitors. Oh, shit.
Ghost.
Have we got Did my some lag on Joe's in?
Yes, a little bit.
Oh, I was worried about this.
No.
We shall see.
Joe, if you can hear us, you're frozen. All right, guys, shit. Bam.
Who is Ambrose? Do we know who that is?
That's familiar.
I don't know.
That's not the architect. We've heard this name.
I remember the name.
I'm looking at the
I'm also looking at the board to see. Is the stream still running? Or has the stream been nuked as well?
If he's running the stream, it's probably a little messed up.
Damn.
Playing with your friends in the 21st century.
I just see
Internet sucks.
I just see Ambrose over the photo of Elmer. Lawset. Just the...
Right.
I don't know what that was. He must...
Yeah.
Someone must have just mentioned him.
That's kind of the vibe I'm getting. I don't remember any details whatsoever about him. I just know that we've heard that name before.
Yeah.
But apparently he's some kind of, like, artificer.
Seen that way.
I wonder if he's the one that's making all of these mannequins and, like...
Maybe.
Constructs. Or if he's just, like, a member of a guild or something. Like... Who the fuck are we talking to right now?
I can't remember writing that down, but I do remember his name somehow. And we put it near Charlie and when we were going to the machine which dispensed food. So I'm wondering if it was in the hotel.
Could be.
Yeah, that would make sense. Well... What you guys been up to? This is probably all going to be cut from the episode.
Oh, crap. But yeah, the recording's still going on my side, but... Yeah.
I don't think we're live, but someone else checked Twitch.
I couldn't see it. Yeah, it doesn't say we're online, so I figure... I don't actually know how Twitch works, but I figure if you're not online, you're not streaming.
Right.
What would you do with a holster toaster? What would you do with a holster toaster?
It's tough to run the game without the DM.
It is.
I got this.
Okay.
Oh, what's besides, that you say, study? Oh, I see you are familiar with my work. What did you think about the cherub? One of my finest creations.
Old man, you wouldn't happen to be able to heal us of all our HP and restore all our sanity that we've lost over the past decade?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm a robot doctor, not a human doctor. But I do have a friend, Sybil, in the next room, who happens to be the most powerful cleric in Carcosa. Sybil! Sybil!
Yes?
Yeah, here she comes. Here's Sybil.
Oh, hello. Hello. What's your name? I'm Sybil.
And Busiak, perfect. You need to do Busiak as part of this madness.
What the... Where did she come from?
Oh, from the other room over there.
Oh, this is my friend Sybil. You said you wanted all of your sanity.
And HP,
sword.
Yes.
And she's the woman for it.
Oh, yes, I specialize in restoring sanity and health points.
Or continue playing, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, this is Golden. Craigbot or Fred, all right. Whatever.
We are back. Pardon me for that momentary interruption due to our internet collapse. My internet collapsing. But apparently my players went on and played without me, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about that later.
Quick update.
I've got this, Joe.
Yes, what happened?
Yeah, I'm the handler now.
Okay, excellent.
We're back up to full sanity, back up to full health, and Sybil has just entered the room.
Oh, excellent.
A
Sybil.
Level 10 cleric.
Who is the most powerful cleric in all of Carcosa. Okay. Specializes in healing sanity.
Excellent.
And HP.
So, on with the game.
Perfect.
Anyway, where we were, where Ambrose was introducing himself to you and was saying, he doesn't get many visitors. What would you guys like to do?
Okay, I see we wrote down the name Ambrose, but where did we, tell us where we actually heard that?
Yeah, can I roll an intelligence to figure out if
Why don't
you
guys roll
Ambrose?
Some intelligence checks?
Yeah, that was my idea, Joe.
All right.
You might be lagging, but I'm the one that came up with that.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Success.
I'm going to roll an intelligence, because I'm an intelligent. Success!
Hank and Benedict both got
success. Okay. Okay, Hank, you remember that you guys were told about Ambrose by when you asked Charlie, about who made the mannequins. But also, I would say, Benedict, do you recall something else? The red-robed figure. You recall seeing a red-robed figure. Not only do you recall seeing a red-robed figure, you recall seeing that box that the red-robed figure was carrying previously. When you guys were escaping the clown, you saw a red-robed figure drop a box. Into a like an open hole in the ground, and that also you saw that very same box in Dr. Elias Barbs's home, and in it were the covers without the paper in them, were the covers of many small red books all bearing the yellow sign.
Oh wow, great.
Ambrose.
Yes.
I hate to say this. They always say don't meet your heroes. But you're not my hero. One of your creatures stabbed me in the neck, and he pulls down his shirt. He's like, This was your handiwork.
Oh, let me see that. Like, and you probably have the scar, you know, or it's not really a scar necessarily, it's still decently
from
fresh.
From a lion.
Yeah. He looks at it, he goes,
Leo.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Why did you do
build that?
That
one? Designed it. Didn't build it.
What's your sort of like role? Like, have you designed like the lion and the cherub and the mannequins?
I build a lot of things. I build them. I build whatever the king needs. I've been given this wonderful place where I can find everything I need. And I build to my heart's content.
Oh, brother. Let me ask you something. I'm looking for a particular tool.
A tool?
It's,
God damn it.
In our world, we call it an angle grinder. It's sort of got a cylindrical body. It's got a blade that spins with a high RPM. It's used for cutting metal. You can get through most stuff with it. You got anything like that around here? I'll give you anything. I'm begging you.
Anything?
You are not taking my toaster. Cold dead hands, my friend.
That's a nice toaster you have
no,
there.
Don't you
Seems familiar.
Dare. No, I found this. This is a gift.
I would love to. Unfortunately, the tools I have are nothing quite like that. I'm afraid I'm not giving you additional shit.
Seems like a strange way to put that. But
says Joe from the roof as I move the strings that control Ambrose.
Yes, I build things. I build things for the king. It's a great, it's glorious work.
Well, I don't know.
Why are you here?
To build for the king. And the way he says it, it's like he doesn't understand the question, right? It's like it's for the idea is foreign to him.
So, with your expert opinion, if you were say in a combat scenario with one of your mannequins, how would you go about disabling them?
Oh, I wouldn't. They would never hurt a fly.
Yeah,
Ambrose, I'm not
take issue.
Yes, you. I'm not sure how much you're to blame for what's happened to us, but we've come into multiple contacts with your creations, and they've been quite the nuisance to us.
Well, I merely design them and deliver them. Well, I don't deliver them, but where they fall and what the king seeks to do with them, that's, I just receive the orders from my friend here, and he kind of motions towards the clockwork child. You know, my friend here delivers the orders and I comply.
And where is this king and what is their name?
Well, the king. The king is at the palace.
Does he have a name?
That's where kings live.
Do they have a name?
Just the king, the last king, the final king. There's a ball tonight celebrating the king.
I heard there's a new king, though. What does that
and
mean?
And the last, yes.
I'll lean over to Boosie. I down tight. I'm not, well, he doesn't try to hide, he's like, I'm not sure how many run-ins you've had with these creatures, Busiak, but I don't trust this man at all.
I think, I don't know, he seems fine. He doesn't know what his constructs do. I guess we're having an aside, which is like whispered conversation away from him. It occurs to me, Hank, that this could possibly be a great resource. This man is a fucking genius. He's some sort of artificer. Like, is there anything you could get from him, like armor or weapons?
Well, Busiak, me and Benedict...
You picking up what I'm putting down?
I pick up, but there's something me and Busiak agreed to a long time ago. And I bet... Him and his colleague here are spreading this insanity. I mean, we're far away from the real world right now, but what they're doing is horrible and diabolical.
I see. So you thinking about offing him?
I don't know if me as Hank would really go that far, but
I'm right here.
Ambrose.
Don't worry about it. They're just having a conversation.
I'm not sure.
Nice toaster.
Thank you.
Don't I have a bring gift. Up the toaster.
I have a gift. I don't know if you'd like to see it, but I believe we're headed to the ball. And we received an invitation from your little friend there, actually, in fact. It was mislabeled by Ian Frederick de Craig, but I don't know.
Okay.
Is this sufficient to get in? Can we get in with this invitation? And do you know where we might find some clothing appropriate for the ball?
Oh, well, clothing, necessarily. I don't know if you need full-blown clothing. You definitely need a mask.
What about armor?
Do you have a mask?
I don't think you need armor for the masquerade. That seems excessive.
Is this an eyes wide shut type thing?
It's not an armorade.
Well, isn't a mask just a form of armor that sits on your face, though?
For your face, Ambrose? I suppose.
I'm going to try and persuade him.
Let me see this invitation. Let me see that. And he takes it from me. He's like, well, this isn't your invitation. This is this Ian de Craig's invitation. You'll need your... You don't have an invitation yourself.
Your friend gave this to us. I'd like you to take this up with management and figure out where our invitation went, because we were assured we'd have an invitation by now.
I think our meeting here is fortunate. Then I know of a place we can go to get you your invitation made with this one, but I could help you with a mask if you would like. I could do
and
that
some
here.
Armor, please.
You're gonna keep pushing that button, and it is gonna keep not doing what you want. As
how about sort of like a modification for my axe, and like, my axe,
like electrical damage, or something like that,
like grindy damage.
Yeah, you want like an AOE? What are we talking?
Sledgehammer
here?
From Fallout. You
yeah, sort of a
strap a rocket to the back of it, so just.
Well, I am gonna need some. If you want me to the mask, I could do. I've done mask before. I've done mask for other people, you know, for the masquerade, and I could do something unique for you,
Ambrose.
I would love that if you could do that for us.
I
have a question, Ambrose.
Yes.
These masks, do they manipulate how we are in the world in any way, if you know what I mean?
I do not know what you mean.
How do your masks work?
Well, traditionally, they have some type of strap that you put up on the backside of your head that holds it to the front bit.
I understand.
Typically known as the face.
I have an inkling that the buttons I'm pushing are not working. So I would like a standard mask, please.
One mask.
Can we sort of like make a request of like what form the mask takes?
Of course. Of course.
Like a particular animal?
Why? Like a Burmese mountain dog.
Ooh. You read my mind. That's uncanny.
Huh. I've been doing this a while. I got a good feel on people. Like I said, I've done this before, and people have always been very, very happy with the work I've done for them. Hey, dude, give me a moment, you know. And maybe he beckons you to follow him, you know, and you end up, you know, taking he grabs one of these candelabras, and you end up in a small, not a small room. It's, you seem to transition quickly from mall to what looks like a factory floor. And there is this huge work table that has every type of conceivable tool on it, maybe even an angle grinder, but you cannot seem to get it to work.
You bet your ass I was about to make an alertness check or something
to search.
The mechanism by which they operate is a mystery.
I'm glad you shut me down before I asked. Let's move on.
And
And you see an area where there are, he pulls out these big set of wide calipers and like measures the shape of your face. And you guys watch as this guy, in just a flurry. And again, he's like a small, older man, you know, stocky, not like decrepit, you know, but, you know, but he seems to move with vigor. And before long, he produces this mechanical ticking mask. And it is very much of a Burmese mountain dog with its big jowls, and, you know, and it's all solid metal, but it's masterfully made. He's like, I don't really have time to paint it for you right now, but here. And it has its own set of, like, eyes. And I guess my question is do you put it on?
Busiak, meatball. Busiak, no. Don't wait for us all.
I don't
know
what the fuck that means. Wait. Why are you yelling meatball at me?
We all have to try them together and dance into the ball together, please.
Busiak will hold off, but I just want to focus on the mask for a second. Like, this is so cool to me. I can just picture this steampunk ass. Like, it's got cogs all over it. And, like, maybe it's even got articulated irises.
Well, and then
that, like,
maybe facial expression. If you don't put it on, he'll take it and put it on himself. He puts it on, and you see that its eyes move around as he moves his eyes. And as he speaks, its jaw moves, like, mechanically. Oh, like to mirror your own speech. Yeah.
A metal eyebrow raises up.
Yeah. You know, he's like,
oh, that's sick.
He's like, I might be getting the hang of this.
How long have you been here?
You are a fucking craftsman. That is amazing work.
Yeah. Long time now, as long as I can remember. What about you two? What would you like?
Hank's very, like, he doesn't trust the guy. He's like, I don't much care as long as we get to this daggum ball.
I understand that. How about wait for you, though? Oh, I've got something for you.
He again goes and over a period, like a surprisingly short period of time, he produces a different kind of mask. A mask that does not strap onto the front of your face, but actually goes over the top of your head. And it produces the effect of having a long neck and
creepy.
A moving head atop it in the shape of a pigeon.
Oh, this is my
one. And he turns to Benedict. He's like, here we go.
Oh my god, he's a little bit touched. There's a small tear that rolls to his eye.
I picture, like,
as he remembers,
you know,
Papua,
like,
New Guinea.
The Egyptian god that has, like, a long bird god, whatever that one.
Totally. Yeah. Except there's, like, gears on the neck, so when he turns his head,
it's basically like Stargate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like all the movements are very jerky and very bird-like.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? You, sir,
that's
you've outdone
so
yourself.
So creepy and cool.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
And for you, for you, something different. Something familiar, maybe?
He goes over, and he's very secretive about this one. He's like, no peeking. And when he gets done, you see him put on the mask facing away from you. He turns around, and his head looks big and round with these big open eyes and this tiny mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
As you look on what looks like the face of your typical
alien.
Like, gray alien.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Hank's, like, very put off.
I don't like it.
Hank, I fucking hate that.
I think that should be about right. And he's saying it with the mask on, but the mouth is so small when it moves.
Yeah.
And it changes the voice, I'm sure.
Hank's having a mild panic attack, but takes the mask regardless.
Yeah. There we go. Now, if you want, gentlemen, I can help you. I can't do an invitation here, but I can I can take you somewhere where I think one of my older machines is. Yes, I think it should be able to do that for you.
We would love that.
By all means.
Excellent, excellent. I'll just need to grab a few things. Could you, young man, he's talking to Buzek, could you hit that light switch there behind you?
Okay, Buzek does.
As you do, and there's like this ka-kung, 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 you know, as lights come on in this huge room, and you guys look up and see hanging probably at least 200-300 mannequins hanging by their cables in a way, and like the ones at one end look unfinished and the ones at the far end are clothed and completed and are, you know, and all the all
production
hanging
line
by these tracks. And, you know, as Ambrose goes around, starts picking up miscellaneous tools and kind of humming to himself. And as you guys look up, every now and again, one of the mannequins kind of twitches, you know, like hanging limply by its cables, you know, but kind of jerking as you guys are there. And before long, he's like, well, and he approaches, there's one end of the room, there is this long ladder that goes all the way up into the ceiling and into a hatch. He's like, well, let's head up.
Hank will, I mean, follow, but he'll stay at the rear, and I'm going to roll alertness. Do I success? 54 under 82. Do I see anyone following us? Or, you know, he's worried about this being some kind of trap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course you are. No, you don't. You do notice. There are two things that you notice, though, as you guys are moving towards this ladder and you're kind of staying frosty. On all the tables, there's all sorts of different stuff here, and you pass by a big cardboard box that is full of these big plastic phones. And, Hank, you remember
the bug,
the satellite phone that you were given by Elias Barbus originally. And there's a big pile of them. They're all identical. They're all identical and like a big pile. And on the side of the box, it says extra. But more interesting than that is as you're going past this one particularly big pile, you see there's a space in between. And you see that laid out in a big open area, something that you haven't seen for a long, long time. It is Abigail Wright's apartment. All what? Laid out. Every piece of furniture, all of the stuff that was glued to the walls, like is like on little stands. And there are diagrams taped to everything.
Wait, this showing is just where a mock-up of the goes. Apartment?
Yes. Not just a mock-up. This is exact.
Hold up. And I mean, Hank can't let this pass. Ambrose, what the hell is that?
And Ambrose stops, you know, and kind of pokes his head. Oh, that's a setup I created. Set pieces.
What do you props. Mean you created? That's a real place. I've been there. We've been there.
Well, it's not a real place. It's right here.
And he kind of taps one of the papers, like, you know, taped to something, maybe taped to the back, to like the side of a lamp or something. He said, see, I received the diagrams here. And that's, you know, this is one of my... This one, they were very, very specific about this one. Must have been important.
Oh, God, Ambrose. Hank, let it go.
This man...
Who commissioned it? Was it the king?
Oh, the king, of course. Everything I do is for the king.
Benedict, whether willingly or unwillingly, this man has had a huge part in what's happened to us. Possibly the other people. I mean, look at these phones. This can't be just for us. There should be other people he's probably done this to. They've done this to. Does any of this look familiar to Busiak? I mean, how, like...
Busiak, you are unhappily surprised to maybe as you begin to peer around as well. You see what looks to be a similar setup, maybe adjacent to this one, past a pile of garbage. A familiar-looking bunk setup with several bunks with footlockers.
Mm-hmm.
This is the firehouse. Again, diagrams. And the more you guys dare to look around, your apartments, your offices, your favorite coffee shop, all laid out, all perfectly diagrammed out, preordained, pre-made, pre-packaged, ready to go, ready to be moved into center stage at the right moment. Anybody not immune to helplessness damage? I think that's Busiak.
A great question.
That's just Busiak.
Yeah, I'm not immune to that.
I'm gonna roll a d6. The other two of you take 1 sanity damage. And I will roll, let's see how much Busiak loses here. That's a 4.
Ouch. Hank, just okay.
That one hurts.
Just hit the breaking point.
Oh, lovely.
Wow.
It all gets to Hank. And you lose him for a time. Oof. But we will handle that next time.
No.
As you guys
amazing
are perfect standing here, seeing every part of your life
just laid out.
Laid out. Diagrammed perfectly. Well, gentlemen, thank you. Thank you so
much.
Joe.
Wow, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thanks. I guess.
Thanks.
Dace takes one.
I mean,
Dace takes a point of sanity damage for being in a literal fabrication shop and still not getting access to an angle grinder. That's all I want.
Right. Oh man. No, you see a pile of DeWalt angle grinders, but they're all corded and they all have the cords cut. Every single one.
Yeah, really pours salt into the wound. Thanks for that.
Jesus.
Guys, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Everyone listening, everyone watching. I think Inwills has just left to go GM. Good luck for that. Atomic Scissors, yep. Thanks for joining us as always. Atomic Scissors said another toaster. Yes, you guys see.
Hank loses. You see the same because the toaster was the final.
Right.
You start a toaster to you, Joe,
and a toaster to you as well. Everyone listening and watching, thank you for joining us. If you want to get the sanity checks, get these a week early if you're listening later, hit up Patreon, really appreciate it. Always a blast. Guys, thank you so much. I really mean it.
Yeah, thanks,
Joe. It's always a good
time.
Two
great ones.
Yep, that was fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, everyone listening, everyone watching live or otherwise, I believe that we will catch you next time. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.